This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Welcome to the JNS Spine podcast for September 9th, 2011. I'm Natalie Pynchon. The topics of the article summarized in this podcast are oncology, lumbar microdiscectomy, spinal tract degeneration, and cervical spine. This podcast also features an article of general interest. The effects of chemotherapeutic agents on differentiated chordoma cells. A laboratory investigation by Omer Farouk Bayrak and colleagues. Chordoma is a rare type of malignant bone tumor and is known to arise from the remnants of the notochord. Differentiation therapy using differentiating agents is a promising method used to treat tumors. Based on forcing cells to mature into other lineages, differentiation therapy might be an additional method to conventional therapies that could be used to treat chordomas. In this study, a chordoma cell line, UCH1, was exposed to several chemotherapeutic agents under appropriate conditions. The first group of UCH1 cells was exposed to chemotherapeutic drugs only, and the second group of cells was exposed to the simultaneous treatment of 1 micrometer all trans-retinoic acid and chemotherapeutic agents in differentiation therapy. The efficacy of the differentiation method was assessed by measuring the viability of the UCH1 cells. Vincristine, doxorubicin, etoposide, cisplatin, and fludarabine decreased the number of chordoma cells when given alone, while etoposide and cisplatin reduced the percentage of viable chordoma cells more effectively when given with 1 micrometer all transretinoic acid simultaneously. The results suggest that chordoma cells may be treated using the differentiation method in a more effective way than when they are treated with chemotherapeutics alone. The authors conclude that this new approach may be an alternative method to conventional therapies in the treatment of chordoma. Analysis of in vivo kinematics of 3 different cervical devices, Bryan disc, ProDisc C, and Prestige LP disc. A clinical article by Isabella Kowalsik and co-workers. Cervical arthroplasty has emerged as a means to prevent adjacent segment disease by preserving motion and mimicking natural spinal kinematics. The purpose of this retrospective in vivo study was to compare and contrast the impact of 3 distinct cervical arthroplasty designs. 60 patients who had received the Bryan disc, ProDisc C or Prestige LP disc were retrospectively analyzed. Lateral dynamic radiographs were used to analyze kinematics at the index level both preoperatively and 1 year postoperatively. All devices maintained range of motion at the index level. Design-specific differences impacted disc height, sagittal balance, and center of rotation. The ProDisc C and Prestige LP disc increased the anterior and posterior disc heights, whereas disc height was decreased following insertion of the Bryan disc. The Bryan disc best maintained the natural center of rotation. The authors state that a better understanding of the different device designs will ultimately lead to refined indications and device selection with a focus on improving the quality of motion, sagittal balance, and longevity of the device. Subarachnoid hemorrhage due to retained lumbar drain. A case report by Kern Hayden Guppy and colleagues. Intrathecal spinal catheters, or lumbar drains, are indicated for several medical and surgical conditions. In neurosurgical procedures, They are used to reduce intracranial and intrathecal pressures by diverting cerebrospinal fluid. They have also been placed for therapeutic access to administer drugs. More recently, vascular surgeons have used them to improve spinal cord perfusion during the treatment of thoracic aortic aneurysms. The insertion of these lumbar drains is not without attendant complications. One complication is the shearing of the distal end of the catheter that results in a fragment of the catheter being left behind. The authors report the case of a 65-year-old man who presented with a subarachnoid hemorrhage due to the migration of a retained lumbar drain that sheared off during an attempt to remove it. To the best of the author's knowledge, this is the first case of rostral migration of a retained intrathecal catheter causing subarachnoid hemorrhage. In this article, the authors review the literature on retained intrathecal spinal catheters, and their findings support the practice of either early removal of easily accessible catheters or close monitoring with serial imaging. Preoperative group and save in lumbar microdiscectomy. Is it necessary? A clinical article by Ankur Saxena and Sam El-Jamal. Lumbar microdiscectomy is one of the most common operations performed worldwide, with an estimated annual caseload of more than 287,000 procedures performed in the US alone, and the trend is on the increase year in and year out. Group and save, or type and screen, and postoperative estimates of hemoglobin concentration cost more than $200,000 per 100 lumbar microdiscectomies. The authors reviewed 319 consecutive lumbar microdiscectomies performed at their institution and surveyed all UK neurosurgical units to determine what was routinely practiced. 92% of their patients underwent routine preoperative group and save. 38% had routine postoperative hemoglobin checks. Estimated blood loss during surgery was 30 milliliters. Mean postoperative hemoglobin reduction was 0.8 grams per deciliter. No patient required postoperative blood transfusion. 88% of neurosurgical units in the UK routinely grouped and saved sera prior to lumbar microdiscectomy. The authors challenged the routine use of group and save prior to lumbar microdiscectomy and conducting routine hemoglobin checks after lumbar microdiscectomy. In this article, they make a strong case for cost saving of finite healthcare resources. The authors conclude that routine group and save and postoperative hemoglobin estimation should be abandoned, and group and save should be reserved for patients who are known to have abnormal antibodies or who are at a high risk of blood loss during surgery. Analysis of ascending spinal tract degeneration in cervical spondylotic myelopathy using 3D anisotropy contrast single-shot echo planar imaging on a 3 Tesla system. A clinical article by Takaki Urakawa and co-authors. The authors describe a novel high-resolution spinal cord imaging modality capable of providing tract-by-tract information of degenerative changes. The technique was found to be especially useful for detecting ascending tract degeneration associated with cervical spondylotic myelopathy. Pictorial presentation of specific functions of the spinal cord tracts offers definite advantages in clinical medicine over numerical presentation, allowing for intuitive assessment of target tract functionality with respect to a lesion. The technique, 3D anisotropy contrast imaging, is the algorithm that performs the necessary processing in pictorial form, or pictorial mathematics, identifying changes in diffusion anisotropy in pixel-to-pixel fashion without the need for estimating eigenvalues. Its application to spinal cord disease was successful once single-shot echoplanar imaging was adopted. Because implementation of 3D anisotropy contrast algorithm is very simple for MR imaging systems that possess the capacity for diffusion tensor imaging, the authors strongly urge clinicians to demand such software from their MR imaging system vendors. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.